fight for what's right, fight for your life.
When it comes, what a great song, man. I am a real American. What is a real American, Matt? What
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan. Well, Hulkster's experienced some fun stuff recently in his life, and from 8 years ago something came up, but we won't dive into that.
Talk about Bear football.
Well, no, hold
not
on.
Not Hulk Hogan.
Really
wrestling.
Quickly. Okay. But being a real American.
Yeah.
It's not, there's so many things that are Americana, American or pure Americana, and I think high school football is one of them. But we would be remiss, and we would be kind of cheating things in life if we didn't mention that we are thankful for all the sacrifices the men and women of the armed forces make every single day and have made for years and years.
Absolutely.
Gentlemen in West Branch, you know, in particular, Dave McElrath. He and Kathy have made some, they've done a lot of good things behind the scenes this week to get this coming week's game, some of the things that are going to happen. We'll get to that later.
We'll get to it, but we can't really talk
about
it.
No, but we will get to it.
Yes.
But right now, we're just going to talk in Bear football here on westbranchfootball.com. I'm Jason Miller, along with Matt Chenander.
That's it. You got
That's
it.
That's it. You know, I knew the name. Folks, you guys understand. It's just a game. We're just playing.
You know what? We're in week three.
Yeah.
We're finally getting it down.
We're in our wheelhouse now.
I appreciate you.
Yeah.
You understanding and finally learning. I mean, we're only on episode 19.
Wow. It is. It's somewhere in there. I think it's 19 because 18 was Let's Play 2 or 7 or the last one, whatever that one was called.
The Bears are undefeated wearing purple.
They are.
That's what I titled
it. They are undefeated wearing purple.
Yep.
Prince is always undefeated wearing purple. That guy never loses.
Purple haze.
Purple rain, purple haze. Anyway, that's really no tie-in to what we're going to talk about. But first, the excitement, the majesty, the ebb and flow of emotions of high school football was on display last Friday night in West Burlington, Matthew Chenander. Let's talk about it.
What a game.
38-17
was
Bears the final. Bears win. 3 wins, 0 losses, 1-0, times 3 this year.
Though the 38-17 score is like if you're just looking at the score of the game, that does not come anywhere close to telling the
deceiving
story of this game. Totally deceiving. Like, I mean, you either have to be there, look at the stats, look at some sort of play-by-play, watch tape on it, listen to the Bearcast, whatever. Just looking at the score is nowhere close to being indicative of how that game went Friday night. And it was exciting, to say the least. I mean, we were talking about this on the way home with the Bearcast crew in our Bearcast vehicle. Right.
Yep. the Bearcast mobile.
Yeah. We were talking about just like we're trying to think back of comparing this game to any other game that we've had and how exciting it was. Or we haven't had that kind of exciting game in quite a long time, I think.
No, I agree.
The only one we could think back to was Sigourney Kyoto overtime win. That was extremely exciting. And then I think it was earlier in that same year, or maybe the year before, the West Liberty game, where we pulled that one out too at home.
Well, I am just, it's one of those, it's a game at this. I was standing on the sideline along with certain players, and Drew Finnegan being one of them. We were in the war. We were battling together on Friday together from the sideline. And I said, the Bears get the opening kickoff, go down and score 7. And it's like, roll on, little doggies. Here we go again. Oh, no. Unfortunately, after that, some penalties and some turnovers in the first half.
Yeah.
You talk about those two things. It's so cliche, but you always talk about in a football game, if you limit your turnovers and limit the penalties, you're probably going to come out on top. And in the first half, Matt, the Bears did not do that.
No.
And the Falcons, a speed team that had all kinds of emotion running wild, a lot of confidence coming in from being 2 wins and 0 losses up to that point, ranked 4th in the state. There was a TV station there doing this as their highlight game from the Quad Cities. By the way, why was the Quad Cities in Burlington? But we're thankful that they were there. We're always thankful for coverage.
We voted them
because basically the West Branch fans probably propelled them to that. But westbranchfootball.com had you covered without the video, but we've got all kinds of that coming up. But the Falcons go on to score. Bears score 7, Falcons 17 unanswered. And then it happened. Everything, Uncle Mo, momentum, was in the corner of the Falcons until 15 seconds left in the first half. It happened.
Nice little shovel pass into traffic, even.
Yes.
From Cooper Koenig to Luke Lennock. And he just saw nowhere to go. He cut it back to the right side of the field.
And had everywhere
and
to go.
A wall of blockers. Yes. I mean, the wide receivers and the linemen on that side of the field, wonderful job holding their blocks, creating a wall for Lennock to sprint down the field and literally run away from the West Burlington defenders, which that
not
speaks
to
his speed, too. You know, Luke Lennock can run, too.
Luke can run, too. Well, and if you look back on it, when you watch it on film, you see, we mentioned these guys last week. Jacob Smith is, I mean, he's a sub 50 second quarter miler, which means he's probably running around an 11 second 100 meter dash. That's not slow. Rel Greer, the backside corner, had a wonderful angle on Luke on that play, but Luke literally ran away and hid.
Yeah.
Ran away, and the space in the film, if you're seeing it from up top, it looked like he was really close, but the sideline, I mean, there was 5 yards between him. He had all kinds of space and was pulling away.
Wow.
And with 6.2 seconds left in the first half, the score goes from, and the momentum goes from West Burlington being ahead by 10 and being way ahead on the momentum to, okay, it's on now.
It's fine, yeah. Yeah, you know, and that's, I was thinking that, you know, right before the half, with everything that had happened so far, the penalties, the turnovers, whatever it may be, the big plays by the Falcons, you know, I thought being down 17-7 wasn't terrible considering everything that had happened. And, you know, even, you know, we got the ball there late in the half, even if we were able to maybe get a field goal out of that and make it just 17-10 even, you know, I thought that was okay considering everything that had happened. We were still right there. But then, yeah, as we just talked about, Lennock broke off that huge, technically a pass reception.
It is a pass reception.
Pass reception to make it 17-14. And, yeah, that momentum was just erased. And then we come out and stop them on their first drive in the second half. That's huge.
Yeah. He officially ran 61 yards after the catch. Mm-hmm. Actually, 63, because he got it 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
I bring that up because here was my view of that play.
Mm-hmm.
I had the key to open the locker room for the team on the sideline, so I was Coach Peterson, Jay Bird, go unlock the door before the team got there.
Right.
And I'm walking, and I'm at the back end of the scoreboard, south end zone. The Bears are going to the north, and they're 50 yards from me because they're at the 40. Around 50 yards. And I turn back and I see this pitch, then I see him cut outside and see him continue to go, and my momentum picked up. I literally was on a dead sprint all the way back to about the 20-yard line on the other side. And for an older gentleman, I wasn't even winded because of the excitement and the adrenaline flow from that play. Like, what in the world just happened? It was a lightning strike in a football game. An ebb and flow of emotion in a high school football game, there is nothing like it.
No.
But 17-14 at halftime, Matt, the halftime score. At halftime, if statistically, if you look at the game stats, West Burlington was dominating on yardage. It was 266 to 141 in yardage at halftime. They were over halfway to their average of 518 yards per contest.
Mm-hmm.
They were on track.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second half,
things changed.
Something happened along the way. What happened was is the coaching staff of West Branch made some adjustments like good coaching staffs do, made some defensive adjustments. The confidence boost was up after that play we've just chronicled for about 5 minutes. Coming out, a three and out right away. Well, not really a three and out, but they stopped the Falcons right away. Kind of a boxing match throughout the third quarter. Bears got it down. Actually, you know, got a turnover on a block punt. The guy snapped it high, fumbled it, had it at the 10, a penalty here and there. But they get that field goal.
Right, yeah. Our first drive of the second half ended up in a field goal. By Devin Kinden, you know, great snap, great hold, great kick, and tied at 17, and it remained that way for quite a long time. After watching the Iowa game yesterday, I'm like, geez, there's been too many of these 17-17 ties. Kind of sick of this
already. It's odd how that score always pops up in a majority of football games.
Yeah.
So it's 17-17.
And then I think I noticed this, some of the coaches on the sideline noticed this during the game, some of the other players too. They're like, we are wearing them down.
Yeah.
We are physically wearing them down. And quarterback and then receiver Xavier Williams, they were both just looked like they were just hurting and physically they never left worn the field. Out. Right, no.
That too.
You know, and I don't blame them. I mean, I don't blame them for being tired, but it's like, you know, the players saw that and they're like, okay, we've got them.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. It just kind of gave them that, okay, let's go put this away. Let's go finish this. And just wear them down. And that totally speaks to the coaching staff having this team very well conditioned, and Phil Johnson in the weight room just, you know, towards the end of the game, these players can still play like it's the first quarter in terms of their conditioning and strength, and they're not worn out.
Yeah, and I talked about this. I remember being on the sidelines and talking with Drew and giving him a high five. Well, I think it
best
gave
as
me a
he
five,
could.
But best as he could on leaning on the crutches. I'd said that another key play to me that will go unnoticed, just because it was only a 17-yard play. But for me, a play that goes unnoticed was on the first drive the Bears stopped of the Falcons in the fourth quarter at the 9-minute mark, punting towards the north where the wind was coming out of the north. So you got it up high. It was holding it up. If it was a golf ball, it would be spinning crazily in the air and hit the ground and not move. Hunter Wargo grabs it, goes 17 yards on a punt return, sets the Bears up at the 42-yard line of West Branch, 58 yards away. Three plays later, they're down to the 41. And the very next play, they're in the end zone. Luke Lennox takes it around left end, running away, gets hit at about the, if you watch the film, at about 5-yard line, number 24 of the Falcons, gets to him and almost didn't really want to have anything to do with him. No offense to the kid, but he kind of just literally just pushed his hands out. And he was there to make the play. Could have knocked him out of bounds. If just drive through him. He looked like he didn't want any part of that because he's seen Luke wrecking ball a couple guys. Maybe I don't think that really is going through his mind, but it just didn't look like he was really ready to make that play. And that's no offense. It's just Luke is, you know, sometimes can be a little bit intimidating player.
Absolutely. Well,
he gets into the end zone, the Bears extra point, which I always look at extra points. People don't think about that. But Coach Peterson and Coach Ty Lee and the staff at that point knew how important that any point was in a game.
Absolutely, yeah.
And left. They didn't do the regular special team. They did the starting offense stayed out to offense. They just thought that was an important decision to make at the time.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I think even whether you're playing, you know, whether it's the number one ranked team in the state or the last ranked team in the state, any point that you can get is going to be huge, and especially these extra points.
When they're in a close football game. Yeah,
absolutely.
You're right.
Yeah, I mean, these extra points are huge. I mean, and they can make a big difference, especially in, you know, 1A football or even 2A football, to where, I mean, you get up to 3A, 4A, et cetera, and you've got good kickers that are pretty solid. And good chances are they're going to make their extra points. You know, like it's expected kind of in the higher classes. But, you know, in the lower classes, like that we play in and the opponents that we play, like it's not guaranteed. You know, even if you have a really good kicker, there's so many things that have to happen. The snap, the hold, lineman holding, everything. It's huge, especially in our lower classes. And it can make a difference.
It can. And well,
luckily it didn't this game.
You know, the funny thing, we say it's not guaranteed, but with Kendon as a kicker far, as an extra point kicker, he's about as close as to a guarantee that the Bears have had making extra points in a long
generalities,
time. And I know you were, and I wasn't trying to one-upsmanship there. I'm just like, for us, we're one of the lucky ones that we have a kicker that has been on. This is
two kickers,
and but this is Kendon's third year on the varsity squad and his third year kicking. And 24-17, Matt, and then the Bears, and then he also kicking off and did a wonderful job of placing kicks in positions that the guys like Xavier Williams and Jacob Smith, who are the two deep men, who are, we've chronicled it, they're just fast.
Yeah, and they didn't hurt us.
No,
it didn't. In terms of punt or
because
kick
he was
returns.
Positioning the kicks in such a great way.
Absolutely.
In fact, on that kick, they're up at the 15 after and he kicks it over their head, and it rolls in the end zone for a touchback. He had two of those going those to were, that south end.
Those were huge, and usually you're, it's like that's not a, a big thing in our games, but the kickoffs and the punting were huge in this game, just so you can try and neutralize kind of that aspect of how they score.
Exactly. And you know, they get the ball on the 20. They do get a first down. The Falcons get a first down up to the 30. And then it's first and 10. And then on first down, there's an incompletion. Then on second down, and we'll chronicle a little bit about the, a story about this young man here in after we display the end of this game, and then we'll move on. Jake Evans gets a sack, a loss of 6. Then on third down, quarterback's running for his life again because the Bears' defensive line and the ends are getting a rush. Mm-hmm. Throws an incompletion. And on fourth down, no, sorry, they lose. On that play, I take that back. Colton Dietz got a sack and made it fourth and 23 at the 20-yard line. There's still plenty of time left in that football game.
Well,
there's still 4.5 minutes left. They got 3 timeouts. I'm not questioning the coach. I'm just bringing that up. Not sure why they didn't punt in that situation, but they thought it was the time to go for it to try to make a play.
They had shown earlier in that game that whether it's third and 50 or third and 3, they have it doesn't matter. They have a pretty good chance at getting that first down, as they did a couple times. They converted a couple long third or fourth downs. So I mean, I think they knew that they could get it. Like they had the potential to get it.
I agree. Man, there were so many times where the Bears in that game had players just dead to rights, no offense, behind the line of scrimmage. And you know what? It just didn't turn out. The Bears had them. And then all of a sudden that speed, they can stop, whoop, cutting this way, whoop, way. And all of a sudden got a loss of 7 playing, and then it's a gain of 23.
Yeah, that.
But on the other hand, there were many plays where they tried to use that. Then the Bears were assignment smart, stayed in their zone, stayed in and broke down and made a play, either pushed them. And then they had that party at the football that I talked about in the pregame interview.
Yeah.
And, you know, that you talk about wearing guys out. They're running 80 yards to gain 3.
Yeah.
Man, that's not easy. That's not going to be good on a body.
Absolutely not.
But anyway, after that play, that 4th and 23, they go for it, and nothing happened. Bears get the ball about 4 plays later. Luke Lenock in the end zone, a 5-yard touchdown run around right in. Extra point made it 31-17.
Mm-hmm.
2 minutes left in the game. The second play, Bears kick it down. Second play of that drive. First play is an incompletion on Trousel. Isaiah Trousel, the running back, coming out of the backfield, cutting up in the slot, and the ball hits him in the hands. And honestly, when you watch it on film, he catches it. There's no one going to be there to catch him.
Yeah.
Not because there's just no one there.
Right.
Probably just because he's the fastest guy in the state of Iowa at the high school football level. He fast. But he dropped it, and I'm not going to say I'm not thankful that happened, because at that point, it still could have, the issue was not completely in hand. Well, the very next play, the Bears defense pushes Spencer Ferguson, the quarterback, out of the pocket, and that old adage is you never throw across your body. He's rolling to the right, throws back to the left, kind of gets it a floater a little bit, didn't really have everything on it. Aaron Barnes intercepts it, and 59 yards later, we got 6 points on an INT pick 6, extra point, 38-17, Matt, the final score, and here you go.
I feel like before the interception, it was pretty much done, but, you know, once that hit, it's like, okay, this is done. That coaching staff was all smiles, players were pumped up, and as soon as Barnes caught that, I looked you know, kind of towards my left, towards the sideline, and look at all the coaches, and I think you and Hills and everybody was just like, get down, get down. And Barnes was like, no.
Oh,
he saw just nothing but open field to run, and he ran it in for that touchdown. And, I mean, that just capped off a emotional game, not only entire game, but emotional last 5 minutes of the game that was just huge.
What a game. 38-17, the Bears knock off a ranked opponent, larger school, 2A school on the road. I would call it a hostile environment, but respectfully speaking, it was a hostile environment. You go into a place you've never been before. Right. Bears had never played there before. It was a completely different thing than what we're used to. We got announcers that were pretty excited, and it was actually a pretty neat atmosphere from the announcer.
What I do want to say, I mean, props to the school district there. They had a wonderful facility. They treated us great in the press box, you know, making sure we had everything we needed. The space we needed, et cetera. You know, they had drinks and sandwiches up there too, and just it extremely nice. The activities director was great as well. So wonderful facility.
And after the game, they came up to me and said, "Hey, coach, how many of your kids need ice? You need ice?" And I went in the locker room and asked, and five kids said yes. And he goes, "We got it. We'll be right back. We'll give it to you."
That's great.
So
yeah,
what I was looking up was he's not quite there yet, but I knew he would be close. Because there was only a few between him and a record for the career. Mr. Kennan, with 5 extra points in that game, now has 98 on his career. The career record is by a man named, young man named Brad Janacek, has 100 in his career. Kennan is just too shy of that. And I think even if he breaks the record the next game, he's probably hoping just to get wins.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just another one, another record for the books that might fall here shortly.
Yeah, that Kendon, I think he, as great as he has been, just consistent, very accurate, everything that he does for the team, too. I mean, it's
great. He rarely comes off the field.
Right, yeah, he's so tired, but he can still go out there and focus and make an excellent kick every time. I mean, that's be great for him to, you know, to get in the record books in this fashion.
I agree. I mean, he's got a 38.5 yard putting average, but outside of one really, it wasn't a good punt in the second game of the season, his punts have been outstanding.
Yeah.
I mean, the other night, specifically in this game, every time he punted, they were either fair catching or they were going over the other team's head. Mm-hmm. Fair catching. They weren't even, because they were so high, mm-hmm. and the coverage team was going to be right there on the play. They wouldn't have been able to go anywhere, even with that speed. Yeah. It was just rare for me to see high school kids that when the ball's at its pinnacle, at its peak, they're fair catching it already because they just probably knew either that they were coached to do it or they figured I'm not going to have enough time to try and get away.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what another weapon that you don't think of in because it doesn't show up in the newspaper mm-hmm. or on quick stats. But that's another thing, you know, another neat special teams weapon mm-hmm. to have those things. Special teams, very important. 38-17, closing it up. Some final stats from the game. Mentioned that at halftime, the Falcons had 262, I take that back, is what they had at halftime. They finished with, or 266, that's right, because they finished with 342. Do the math there, 78 yards after halftime.
Yeah.
For a team that averaged 500 a game?
Yeah. You know, you mentioned that at half they were well on their way to meeting their average per game, but which was, what, 519 or something like that? Yeah, and they got held to 342 or whatever it was. I mean, that's huge.
Sick.
That's, I mean, it speaks volumes about this defense.
Yeah, and they had the same amount of extra time at halftime to go on a rest as the Bears did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to get their flow. To get that adrenaline rush again as you get out to the second half to try to hide some of the pains that teams you just have. It's football. It's a tough game mm-hmm. and tough sport played by tough people. And why go and watch the film? On the first two drives, they get 55 and 25 in the second half. I'm like, well, they didn't score on them. One, there was a missed field goal. They actually had a field goal to go up, you know, to go up 20-17 before the Bears kicked their field goal, by the way.
That's right.
We even forgot that one. 26-yard field goal. They were down to the 5, and the Bears had a couple of great defensive plays, pushed them back, and they attempted a 26-yard field goal. And I remember joking on the sideline before they even attempted it. It was a timeout. And I know that because I saw their coach sprinting down the sidelines. He was pretty quick. I was standing by Brandon Rummelhart. I said, he goes, oh, they're not going to go for him. I'm like, yeah, the kicker's already going out. 26 yards, like an extra point. This is a chip shot. Yeah. And he goes, he could miss it. And when he did, he goes, he gives me a high five. He puts his hand up. Chip shot, huh? Chip shot. Like, huh? I'm never so happy to be wrong. Believe me, I'm happy when I'm wrong. But I mean, in the all grand scheme of things, with the wind at this back at 20 mile an hour, a 26-yard field goal, if you kick it if you catch it cleanly like you did on every other kick that he had,
yeah,
was kind of a chip shot. But it was a fun night, very emotional victory. And one thing we haven't brought up yet, and I talked about Evans, had another sack. Jake Evans had two sacks on the game.
Yeah.
That would give him two on the year. Before the game, I had a chance, I was chatting with him, and I, Matt and I do our picks to click every week, and other people, we thank you for writing in on that. And I said, my pick to click was Aaron Barnes, but before the game, I said to Drew Finnegan, I said, for us to have a good night, I really need this. My pick to click, really, it's going to be that kid right there. Jake Evans is going to have a really big game. I'm not just putting pressure on that kid, but just from the speed standpoint, to try to keep the quarterback and the backs inside, inside the tackles, so the defensive tackle line and the linebackers can fill for West Branch. Because if you get a kid cutting one way and then having to cut back another way horizontally, we talked about this in the pregame stuff, Matt, that's how you neutralize speed.
Yeah.
And he had two sacks. And after the game, about 3 minutes to go, it kind of got to me. I really thought about the scenario. Is his mom is, you know, they're just battling some things that you hope people have to go through. And for a young kid, for an emotional standpoint, for a 16-year-old kid, that's a lot to weigh on your mind. You can forget about a lot of things when you're with your friends. Young kids can put things aside. As you get older, it's tougher to forget things.
Yeah.
But he played a fantastic football game, and I talked to Ryan Grover on the sideline, and he goes, "What's wrong?" And I told him, I said, "It's Jake's birthday, his mom's birthday tonight." He told me that before the game. He said, "Don't worry about telling anybody." And I said, "That's cool. We're going to win this one.
Yeah.
We're going to get this one and celebrate her birthday in this way, a positive way for your heart." And Ryan Grosvenor immediately says, I got this. I didn't know what was going on. Then we get to the huddle, team huddle on the field. And he had talked to Coach Peterson after Butch gave a speech and exciting stuff and all the, "Hey, great game," and blah, blah, blah. He said, "Well, and we got a birthday tonight." And he brought it up in front of the team. And, you know, Coach Ty Lee gave him a hug from behind, and Jake a hug, put his hands on his shoulders, and other kids patted his back, and everybody cheered when they announced that it was their birthday. And you could tell, he said, he mouthed the words, "Thank you," to Coach Peterson. If you're just learning football on the football field, you're not getting what you should be getting out of playing a team sport, Matt.
Absolutely.
So, some game statistics from this one. Man, there were some. The most important statistic in the end is one. The one being in your column on the win side, and the zero being in the loss side. And Coach Peterson mentioned that when we were on the ride home on the bus. He goes, "Jay Bird, you got the stats yet?" "I don't know, but I've got some of the stats." And I said, he goes, "Well, I don't care. We won the game, and they lost the game, and that's the stat I need to remember." "Well, why are you asking me about the stats?" But, Matt, what were some of the statistics, the key statistics? Well, just, you know, from an offensive and the defensive standpoint from that game.
Sure, yeah. From, Bears on offense, 319 yards, 127 passing, 192 rushing. and what I think is pretty important, and I think we've been pretty close to this all year, but our fourth down conversion rate was 100%.
Don't get that very often.
If that means anything to you.
It does.
And our third down was only 20.
Yeah, and we had talked about that on the sidelines. I remember at one point with Drew saying, it was like watching the Iowa State game yesterday, how Iowa had not converted on a first down, on a third down play until halfway through the second quarter. So.
Yeah. And we kind of briefly touched on this, but yeah, we held them to 339 yards on offense, West Burlington, that is. And three sacks, which was big. And then that one big interception.
Those were all in the second half, those sacks.
Yeah, and that one interception that we had, right there at the end of the game. Individually, Cooper Koenig was 7 of 14 for 127 yards with a touchdown. That one 61-yarder to Luke Lenock. Speaking of Luke, he had 19 rushes for 142 yards, 7.5 yards a carry.
So his average is actually down
low.
To 8.4 now.
Yeah, I was going to say that's low, but that's still incredible. Yeah, and he had two rushing touchdowns to go along with his one receiving touchdown. So another great game from Luke. Cooper Koblik, 2 for 2 as far as receiving the ball in 25 yards. And both of those receptions he had were pretty, I don't know, they were – they were key first down plays.
Just to
kind of get, I think one of them was to get across midfield, get into Falcon territory. I believe it was there in the second quarter.
And that was on a third down.
Was it? Okay.
It was. In fact, you bring that up, and I can see it in my head. Mm-hmm. Koenig, the Cooper of the Koenig variety, mm-hmm. was throwing it to Cooper of the Cobble variety mm-hmm. before he makes his break. Yeah. He's throwing it from between the hashes mm-hmm. to the other side, the Falcon side, the press box side yep. of the field. Mm-hmm. It's a 17-yard completion. He's 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage in the middle of the field. That's about a 35 or 40-yard throw, and it was right on the money.
Yeah, I mean, Cobble was wide open too. So I mean, it was, you know, a perfect play to get into their territory. Good to see Cobble get the ball. You know, I always talk about this, but I kind of wish we would involve our tight ends more on the offense, just because whenever we do get them involved, good things happen.
His hands are like a black hole. You throw the ball in, it's not coming back. Those hands, they stick. It's unbelievable how they just hide in his hands.
Is he wearing white gloves again this year?
I think he might have those Farmall yellow gloves on.
The yellow ones.
that you wear in the wintertime sometime to walk, you know, when you're doing Cliff Bowie from the Cliff Bowie signature collection. You wouldn't get that one. But anyway, back to the stats.
So, yeah, I mean, those are the kind of the key stats. Looking at the defensive side of the ball here for the Bears.
But, oh, by the way, Koenig had 45 yards rushing, 66 when he was actually carrying the ball, 40 minus 21 due to sack, due to quarterback sacks. But he had 66 yards rushing. One was it was a 9-yard rush, I remember, in the first half to get a first down on 3rd and 8. Mm-hmm. Another one, the first touchdown of the game, was Cooper Koenig for a 40-yard run.
Yeah, that was a great
37-yard run, I think it was, sorry.
Showing his speed, just gets to the outside.
We talked about that.
Turns it on. Yeah.
What are you going to do? If you're 2-on-1 there, a defender, 2 on offense, 1 defender trying to just make a fake to Lenock, who rushed for 2,100 yards last year and is averaging about 150 a game right now, mm-hmm. I'm probably going to go after him.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, this guy's faster on straight-line speed, believe it or not. Yeah. And he got out and ran away from the Falcons.
Yeah. So defensively for the Bears, you know, imagine this, but guess who has the most tackles again?
Donovan of the Kale variety.
Absolutely. Yeah. he's on a tear, it seems. I mean, not unexpected at all, but yeah, he's leading the Bears in total tackles, and right behind him, Aaron Barnes. I think he's pretty much up there every game as well, on the defensive side making stops, which is great. And I think he's moved inside now, the linebacker, now that Drew's not there, correct?
Yeah, but he pops out. He'll be out in pass coverage as well. Yeah. And the Bears are in the, you know, when you go to a cover 4-3, cover 2, you know, he's covering the slot.
Yeah.
And backing up into pressure.
Yeah, and a lot of the time, Coach Peterson was telling us this week that, you know, before the game, that they were going to have Barnes kind of spying quarterback, just because he can be so elusive. And as long as the formation calls for it.
Game secret. You guys didn't hear that.
Okay. So yeah, it was So you know, a lot of leaders on this defensive end. You know, Donovan Barnes, Dietz even had 4.5 tackles.
Dietz,
well. Dietz's doing a great job. Kindon, 6 tackles too. So
Kindon, I think had 8 tackles if I remember looking at the stats right earlier when I was going through. I thought he had 8.
6.
But anyway,
that's all the stats we got. Do we want to move on to North Cedar?
No. Yes. Let's go there.
All right.
38-17, the book is closed. We're passing the songbooks on.
Wrapping this one up.
Wrapping it up. Putting a bow on it and leaving it under the tree until next season is the oft out of district schedule is over. Now we get on.
It
this is where the rubber matters. Meets the road, so to speak. Mm-hmm. The matter that we're 3 wins, 0 losses, 1-0 each week to this point. But to get into the playoffs, you've got to be playoffs. You got to be one of the top 4 teams in your district.
Yeah.
And the Bears have 6 games left to try and become just that. Mm-hmm. And with the confidence of last Friday, I got a feeling that's going to help carry them through. First game first, North Cedar comes to town. Believe it or not, again, I checked the Iowa High School Athletic Association website, and it is completely official now. They cannot back out. Once you're within a week, you can't back out and try to change it to another venue. North Cedar's actually coming to West Branch. This will be the first time they've been here.
Ever?
The last 3 out of the last 4 games, West Branch and North Cedar have played, and 5 of 7.
have been, or four out of seven have been, no, this will be four out of seven. Four out of six have been in Stanwood. A lot of trains and Jug Jackson Field, you know, a little Rose Bowl, Elephant Street Field North. Mm-hmm. But they're going to come to town. And they're coming to town without a victory on the season yet. They've lost to Alburnett 22-0. That game was cut short in the third quarter on flood lightning night in Iowa a couple weeks ago, the second week of the season. They lost. We joked about it and talked about it. Remember we talked about how West Branch plays Lisbon and then North Cedar plays them, and we'll see how those teams look, and we can gauge from that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're coming in, 0-3, but this is always, I think, one of the marquee games on the schedule in terms of your district play, just because of, not only because they're always good matchups on the field, but just the rivalry that we have with them in all sorts of other sports, and just other things that have happened off the field too. It's always a great matchup, and I honestly think you can throw out the records in this one, because it's a tough game, emotional game too, just from both sides, just because it's West Branch versus North Cedar.
Well, some of the guys you need to watch out for North Cedar. Now, they have an update as of today, 13th of September, Sunday. They have yet to update their stats from their third game, which was a 32-27 loss to unbeaten Alburnett, who had basically steamrolled their first two opponents and has a very potent offense. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, it's something about playing in Stanwood. Besides the average of 27 trains per quarter that go by, it's just something about Doug Jackson Field that can sometimes bring you down a little bit. It's a great home field advantage there. 32-27, they scored 27 points when they'd only had 17 in the first two games combined against Lisbon and Anamosa. And against Anamosa, that's no slight, because that's a top 10 football team in Class 2A. Who just knocked off Tipton last week, who's another top 10, 15 caliber team by 32 points, 52-20. So Anamosa is a good football team, but that's not the point. 24 points compared to 7 they've averaged, so that means they're averaging a little over almost 14 points a game, but they are giving up 56 plus 22 is 88, so what's that, 26 points a game is all they're giving up, almost 30 points a game. But the guys you got to watch out for, replacing Jaden Johnson was going to be a big thing for them this year. Mm. And when I say big, they also had to replace two or three all-district offensive linemen. And Frommelt and Sander, those two guys combined are about 972 pounds and about 6'6" apiece. Both first-team all-district performers for them last year. But they did return the state's leading receiver last year in Ian Malaby. Through two games, he had 5 receptions for 50 yards. I know in the first game he had 4 for 48. He just doesn't have that same caliber of quarterback. That's no offense to quarterback Jacob Holst, who threw two games. After two games, had 198 yards passing. But Jaden Johnson was just a special quarterback that doesn't come around to small schools very often. He threw for about 3,000 yards last year, somewhere between 2,500 and 3,000 a night. We don't need to look back at it because, well, he's gone. So Malaby's stats are going to be not quite as gaudy, G-A-U-D-Y, this year. Brendan Sander is the leading receiver through two games, 7 receptions, 89 yards. Leading rusher only has 8 carries through two games. Shane Weber, 82 yards on 8 carries. That is 10 yards a carry, Matt, aided by a 65-yard touchdown run. Looks like the leading guy carrying the football is Caleb Galloway, has 13 carries. But they got 5 guys between 4 and 13, so no one guy is ahead of the other as far as rushing the football. And I'll be excited to see the stats from that third game when they are put in.
You know, one thing we have to add in the mix, too, is that they have a new coach.
They do have a new coach. A
couple new coaches, actually.
And one being class of 2001 West Branch High School graduate, Zach Zazel returns to the sidelines in North Cedar after a year with the Mustang football squad in Mount Vernon with Coach Peterson. He returned. His friend Lucas is the new head coach. They decided to move over, come on back, takes over. He's the head coach. Zazel, Coach Zach is the defensive coordinator, associate head coach, assistant head coach. I don't know if it's associate at the high school level. And he's just a good guy, and he's been really good with the communication in the last week as far as us getting our videos together, exchanging videos and things. And they really, the numbers are down up there this year. The numbers in Sandwood are down. They got to get the confidence, got to get the excitement level back up for playing football. They've got more students than we do, so I think it's going to get there. They got big old farm boys just like we do. Mm-hmm. Kids that are big, and they've been as big, if not bigger, than us last year, and that's tough to say. So they've got the horses. The ponies are up there.
Absolutely.
They just got to get their confidence back, and I think he's doing some things behind the scenes to try to pump the kids up, to get them excited beyond the game of football, to be a part of this team sport again.
Yeah.
And it's not going to take very long.
No, absolutely not, but it certainly doesn't only take one season, half a season. But, I mean, I totally expect, you know, that each game they are going to learn and improve immensely over the last one. I mean, just like any football team does, but when you've got the things that they're replacing, the new coaches, et cetera, I mean, it's kind of that learning from game to game amplified times three.
Yeah. You know? Again, you can't replace – it's tough to replace how much they lost from a really, really good football team last year, a team that lost in the round of 16 to South Winneshiek to end their season. They're 0-3. Bears are 3-0. Throw it out.
Who cares?
Some cool things that are going on, though, Matt. We talked about it. We've kind of chronicled a little bit throughout the season about this. I keep using that word chronicle. Maybe that's taken over for seasoning and barometer as this week's new word of the week.
I think that's every week.
Write in. If you want a word of the week, if you want to be considered, send us an email right now.
Get out your thesaurus.
For your consideration, and you might win a booster dog at the...
we can't guarantee that.
No, we can't, but they will be serving them.
You will have the opportunity to purchase
it. You will have the opportunity, along with the excitement of your word of the week being used here on Talking Bear Football Podcast.
On WestBranchFootball.com.
On WestBranchFootball.com. So, it is military or veterans of the military appreciation night on Friday. There are going to be some heavy machinery sitting at the field. Some guys behind the scene. Brandon Keeler has been doing a lot of great things. He's a West Branch. He really likes West Branch football and does a lot of things for a lot of programs here through the summer. Get a watermelon feed to say thank you and, you know, to say hello to these guys and on behalf of the Iowa National Guard. And he, along with Dave and Kathy McElrath, have really put a lot of planning into this. There's going to be some machinery. Robertson Painting, Randy Robertson and his sons, Chris and Bryant and Derek, are part of that. Chris and Bryant, of course, are on the JV. Chris is the head JV coach. Bryant is on that staff as well. Are offering one of their boom trucks, paint boom trucks, for us to use on all Fit Street for the walk. We'll have a camera up there as they're walking under it. Every kid is going to have an American flag. They're going to have a bunch of American flags for all the fans, a lot of the fans. They're going to be American flags around the field before the game. And
don't,
so
don't spoil it too much here. Dude.
During the national anthem, I don't know if Toby Keith's going to make an appearance. I think an email was sent trying to get old Toby Keith here. Made in America! Dan Hayes, that's for you. You love our singing, and that's there you go, brother. But I don't know. That'd be awesome if he showed up. I think that'd be a surprise to everybody.
Yeah. And the team... we'll have new jerseys again.
Jerseys this
the
week.
Red is going to be back at the Little Rose.
Red is back.
Red is back.
Yes,
we're going to have red
back again.
Red jerseys with kind of some camo trim along the sides and on the sleeves.
Some digital camouflage, gray, black, and white.
If you want to see them before the game Friday, just go down to the window there on the corner of Main and
Downey Street. Yes.
There's a window there with some jerseys in there. You'll recognize the purple throwback jersey, but you'll also see the new red camo jersey that the team will be wearing Friday.
When I saw it the other night, I'm like, I know Dave and Kathy are behind this. The purple jersey's number 56.
Yep.
Matt McElrath was number 56 last year. Red jersey, double zeros. Where's the tie in there, Matt? Help me out. What do you think his baseball number was?
Double zeros.
Double zeros. Of course. And that's all right. But it looks good. The red is back in West Branch. We won't be back in black. We're going to under a red, red sky. Red, yeah.
I think we still have to play
Red Skies at Night. Oh, 80s music. We'll bring it back every week. I could, but, and I usually do it about 5 to 6. You show up early.
I know.
A lot of 80s hair metal for the fans of West Branch. I turn it up so pretty much everybody in town
and
can
Pandora
hear it.
Ads, too.
And Pandora ads.
Yeah.
Might we add? There's going to be some Pandora. No. So, going to be fun stuff. Stuff that we can't get into. But.
Just be there.
Come on out. And if you're on, if you're at a distance, of course, you can listen to the Bearcast. We'll be live at 6:30, normal time again this week, for a 7 o'clock kickoff.
And a cool thing that Kathy and Dave have kind of put together, too, is you can email us pictures, whether it's you or family members, friends, whoever it may be. Email us pictures with the name and a photo of anyone that has served in the armed forces. And we're going to, throughout the game, we're going to be sharing all those photos on the video board there at the Little Rose Bowl, just a kind of sign of respect and show appreciation to those who have served and protected us. So if you use somebody you know, whoever it may be, would like to send in photo, you can go ahead and do that at photos@westbranchfootball.com, and we'll have those planned throughout the game on the video board.
And again, you know, we're always excited to be at the Little Rose Bowl on a Friday night in the fall. But those things wouldn't be possible without some great sacrifices of many men and women. The second time I've mentioned that. So this is a lesson and a wonderful night of appreciation. It's a small thing that we're doing to give a great deal of appreciation for those men and women who serve on a daily basis. And I mean, just one off the top, right now at the top of my head, a 2015 graduate, Jacob Schreiber, posted on, I saw a picture of him on September 11th in his army fatigues, or in his, you know, his camouflage, saying how thankful he was to be serving this country in the military.
And a couple of my classmates too, Jackson Hollingsworth, Zach Lukowski, they're also in the National Guard as well. So
I mean, they're out there, and some of you might not even know them. And I would love to, in this small way, we would love to be able to give them our appreciation. By the way, Cooper Koenig on the year, 32-53, 60%, 510 yards, 4 touchdowns and 2 picks. Luke Lennock, 442 yards on the ground on 51 carries. I said 8.4. That's actually 8.7.
Close enough.
6 touchdowns. He's averaging 2 a game. Koenig, now the second leading rusher at 82 yards. He has 4 rushing touchdowns. Leading receiver, Matt Showtime Schauber, 192 yards on 13 receptions. Aaron Barnes right behind, about 128 yards, 32 yards a catch. And Luke Lennock, 3 catches, 75 yards. 25 yards of reception. They have the 4 touchdowns between them. Schauber has 2. Matt already talked about Cale Donovan being the lead talker, and that is your stats update for the team through 3 games. Before we get to our pick to click and our score projections, we just happen to have this guy on the phone right now for an interview that you all might know. His name, Butch Peterson, head coach of the West Branch Bears. Coach Peterson, you talked about it all week. You and I and others have been talking, you know, about it for a few weeks, about how this game on the schedule at West Burlington was probably going to be one of the tougher games and tougher teams that the Bears saw all year, and it certainly proved to be right on the money.
They are a very skilled football team. They had great speed. They won the state track meet last spring and are heavy favorites to win it again this year, probably even easier than they did last year. But they looked good on tape. They had beaten two 3A schools going into the game. And we knew that we had to play very well. We thought it was a good preparation-type game for North Cedar, which is our first district game. And we got into this game, and I thought we played with a lot of heart and a lot of determination.
What were, do you feel, as you look back on it, some of the things that you'd planned for, the keys to the game, to making sure to try to neutralize that speed that you mentioned?
Well, we spent a lot of time with our defensive preparation, as we normally do, and we will continue to do. I'm a coach who believes you need to have a staff work on things, and we have a defensive staff that does a lot of things, and we work well together. And I never ever think it's football is a game where one person as a head coach or as an assistant coach is the key to any games. I think it's a staff preparation. That's what we did on this game defensively. And that's the way that you have to go into a high school football game, is get a lot of people involved. And I do a good job of that. I let a lot of assistant coaches coach, and that's the way it should be, and I'm going to continue to do that. But the keys to this particular game were, you know, we had to contain the edge. We had to have some people out there, whether it be a defensive end, whether it be a strong safety, whether it be a linebacker. We had to defend the edge, and we did a good job of that. You could see at times they broke the edge, but their superior speed is something that you sometimes just can't control. We had to key the middle. We spied a lot of things in the middle of the defense where they just simply couldn't get around us. I thought our tackles played well. We have a four-man rotation now in the tackle position, and I thought our middle linebacker did an awesome job of that. And then as far as down getting close, I called a lot of stunt calls down close to the goal line on a real key stop on the goal line in the second half. And it was a successful stop on our part, and I think it was a key to the ball game. I think an early key, defensively also in the secondary, you know, we did some things. We ran some zone. We ran some zone man. We ran a variety of different things. So that's something that we're going to continue to work on and get better at. But I thought overall the major key to the defensive section was the fact that we just flew to the ball. I mean, we were all over the field, and you could see that was important to do, because I can remember one time we had four people around one of their ball carriers, and to his credit, he broke loose and continued to go down. So we just did an outstanding job defensively in that regard.
Coach Peterson, in regards to how, you know, big this game was in terms of from emotions, physically, what does this kind of game do for your team in regards to confidence going forward for the rest of the season?
Well, I think it should be a huge confidence builder. I think it's a game that you learned a lot from. I think the kids know now that they can get behind. If they get behind, they can still come back. They can still win. And I just think that the confidence level should be extremely high now in our football team.
Well, now moving forward, as I hear Back in Black in the background, we're going to be back in red next Friday with camouflage jerseys. But at any rate, moving forward to the next game against North Cedar, three wins and no losses on the non-district schedule, but the real meat and potatoes, the how you make the postseason, is by playing well in your district schedule. On the level, first impressions of North Cedar.
They're kind of a deceiving team from the standpoint that they've had some, you know, what we've heard from North Cedars, they've had some kids that were out for disciplinary reasons, and I know that all those kids are back for our game, and they've played some good football teams. They play Anamosa, and Anamosa is one of the better teams in 2A division. They've got beat by Alvernette, who a lot of people picked to win our district, and they lost to them last week by 6 points. So I look for them to be able to do a good job down here at West Branch, and they have a good program. They've had a strong football program for the past 4 or 5 years, and I'm extremely impressed with some of the things they do. So I think it's going to be a great football game. I think it's a game that we're excited about. We know that in order to get the number one seed, we need to run the table. We probably need to win all of our games, and I know that's one of the things that we're going to shoot for. And we're excited to be back, and there's a lot of festivities that are going to be happening on this Friday night. And I know that's in honor of the veterans that we have, that then we'll have at the game. And I think that in itself should get a lot of people fired up. But our confidence level should be extremely high right now, and I was really impressed with some other statements I want to make about this game, the West Burlington game, is the fact that I thought Devin Kinden did an excellent job in regards to ball placement. I stressed to him that I wanted the ball kicked on the right side of the numbers, and he did a great job of that. And then we switched in the second half, and we kicked the ball to the left side of the numbers on the kickoff game. And the coverage by our kickoff team was outstanding. And the same thing as punting. We didn't want them to have the ball in an open field. He did a great job punting away from their receivers. That was all planned ahead of time, and he followed our plan to the letter. And I thought that kicking game and our special teams run by Kevin Crosswaite did a great job. I thought the touchdown right before half was a huge turning point. We're down, 17-7, and we have a shuffle pass to Luke Lenahawk. It's a good call by Jared. The guy goes down the sidelines and scores a touchdown. And I thought that changed the momentum. I thought we went into the locker room. We knew that we could win. And then I thought late in the ball game, our conditioning. I always tell the kids I'm going to condition them to the point where they are the best conditioned football team in the state of Iowa. And I think you could tell late in that football game that our hitting on them finally took its toll, and they started backing off a little bit, quite frankly. And I thought that we out conditioned them, and I think that showed in the fourth quarter.
Well, it's nice to know you talk about a Friday night home game. It's rare that North Cedar actually comes to West Branch, but I'm joking about that, of course. But it's going to be nice to get the fans back in West Branch, and you mentioned it. I hope we get them to come out for the sacrifices of men and women of our armed forces. But behind the scenes, Dave and Kathy McElrath have done a lot of things to get this, and Brandon Keeler as well with the Iowa National Guard, to help make this hopefully a really, really special night that certainly that is much more important than what's going to happen on the field.
There's no question. Dave McElrath has just worked his tail off and gathered a lot of money. He went out and got all donations. So fans out there, West Branch football doesn't always get everything because the school didn't pay for anything as in regard to these uniforms that the kids will be wearing. It was all private funds raised by Dave McElrath, and all of the various activities that we are going to have came from private funds. And you're right, Jason. Dave and Kathy just did an absolute wonderful job. And Brandon Keeler, anytime we ever want anything from the National Guard, Brandon Keeler's there to help us. And to be able to pay back to the veterans that have served not only from West Branch but from North Cedar, I think is a very special thing. And I think it's things that we need to continue to do. And I think it's a part of the educational process to teach our youth today that the Armed Guard is very, very important. And our armed services have been phenomenal, obviously, forever, and they're going to be really honored, I think, Friday night at West Branch.
Well, three wins and no losses thus far. That's kind of going to the script that you hope to have it. And now we start a new season, Coach Peterson. We're 0-0 and hope to be 1-0 starting with this week. Thank you for joining us on the podcast, and we're looking forward to the week of preparation. All things are going to happen for a positive manner on Friday night at the Little Rose Bowl.
Well, thank you. And I do want to, again, thank all the people that went down to West Burlington. I thought it was a nice crowd for a long trip, an hour and a half trip. And my coaching staff, again, I want to applaud them on all the hard work that they put in. Jared running the offense, Kevin running the special teams, myself running the defense with my staff. And everybody at West Branch does things together. That's why we're called a family. And that starts with the coaching staff, and it goes down to the players, and it goes to the administration. We've had a lot of good support from the administration, and I know that we'll continue to have that. And let's face it, also, you guys are part of the family. Everybody that we have involved in our football program is a part of the family, and I've really tried to stress that since day one. This program is not my program. It's the community tradition, and I'm going to tell you something. That's a huge key when we have as many people as we have that are supporting our program, and that's made our tradition and our program extremely tough.
It's pretty special. Well, have a great week, Coach. We will certainly look forward to talking to you next weekend.
All right, thank you.
So exciting. We've talked about it. Coach Peterson talked about it, what's going to happen on Friday night, and certainly what happened last Friday night. Again, the Bears 3 wins, 0 losses, 1-0 each week. That's the fourth time I've mentioned it, but it can't go without being mentioned. The mantra of the team, 1-0 each week, tradition never dies. And Coach Peterson talked about that, what a proud tradition we have. And it's not just from a team, but from the community. Matt, here in West Branch, we are pretty lucky. So, Matt, I'm going to let you steer the ship here on this segment. Go ahead.
Well, as you mentioned, it's time for our score projections.
Yes, it is.
And our picks to click, etc. But first, let's check in
with our sponsors.
Well, see who wrote in for last week.
Let's check.
Once again, Mike Westcott wrote in.
The new guy.
He said, "Hi, guys. West Branch will win 35-21.
Not too bad.
I think
he's right in the mix.
I think he's going to win by one.
He is going to win by one over you and I.
He's going to win again. Second week in a row. He's good.
Okay, no. If you just moved to town, you are no longer you are no longer allowed to be a part of this. No, I'm just kidding.
And Hunter Borgo was his pick to click.
Not a bad pick. Yep. I mentioned him on that punt return. Not a bad pick.
And Tom Berger, once again, stealing my score.
Was it 42-21?
42-21.
Good job, Tom.
And Showtime Shaver had a big has a big night, you know, are his quotes.
Has a big night.
Click, so.
Well, who was your pick to click, by the way, last week? Was it Showtime?
No, it was Cale Donovan.
Okay. So he didn't steal that, too. Copycat.
No, he didn't, no.
Who else? Anybody?
And then Brandon Lukowski, his score was 31-14.
Oh boy, that's a good one.
He's in the mix.
He is in the mix.
I don't think he wins.
1 point off. No, he's 10 off. That's still not bad.
No, that's pretty
Everybody's
good.
Really good this week.
And he had a little insight here. He said, "I believe the Falcons will be running some sweeps and trying to get to the edge to use their speed. Aaron Barnes will shut it down and get a big reception slash play."
Wow, he stole my line. Yes,
he. I think Brandon was onto something there.
He
got it.
He was sniffing. He was stiff. He was sitting up there in the top, in the southeast corner of those bleachers. I saw him.
Well, and so he went on to say, "Jason, I literally had this filled out before you guys picked. Great minds think alike." So he at least he reconciled with you there.
There you go.
So this week, score. Am I first?
You're first on the scores.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, by the way, your score last week was 42-21.
Yep.
Mine was... What, Matt? What did I say? 34-13?
34-13.
We were both 8 points off.
8 points off.
Nobody wins.
Well, Mike Westcott does.
Mike Westcott wins, but we all win because the Bears
the
won.
The Bears win.
The Bears won.
The Bears my gosh. Won.
Oh, like.
Oh. This week. I think.
Red jerseys are back, so there's going to be some excitement in the air.
It's a special night. Everybody's going to be pumped up. There's going to be some things we haven't mentioned that we can't mention. Be a surprise.
But we are going to mention your score and mine. I know.
My score. With the excitement of this game, our confidence, and kind of high coming off of Friday's game, I think I'm just going to... It's going to be tough for North Cedar to overcome that.
It's going to be a steamroll effect. Here it comes.
I did not say that.
No, you're implying it. We're going to be a steamroller out there. The excitement's going to carry over.
49... Nothing.
Dang it! I guess last week I stole your pick to click when it was my turn. You
it's
had
true.
It.
It's true.
And you just literally stole the score right out of my mind.
Good.
Man.
Good.
So I'm gonna go 42-0. I'm just gonna cut it. I'm gonna say 42.
You wanna say 50?
No, I'm not gonna
one up me.
Not gonna game you. I'm gonna leave a little margin for error in there. But 42-0.
42-0.
You know.
Okay.
Is my score. No, I'm not. I'm going 56. I'm going bigger.
Okay.
So I'm like the Price is Right. I'm going big.
Okay.
56 nothing Bears. Final answer.
Okay.
All right, picks to click, man. What do you think? How are you going to intro that one?
Well, it's your pick. Well, that's how I'm going to intro it here.
It is my pick. You know, on the bus on the way home the other night, there was a young man who was mad at us, Matt. He was upset with us. He goes, "It's fine. If you guys never want to pick me, that's fine." He doesn't hear the reasoning as to why we don't pick him. He said that we have a rule. It's only fair that we only get to pick this kid one time a year because he touches the ball on a lot of different plays. And another guy touches the ball on every single offensive play in Cooper Gaining.
I know where you're going with this. But you're going to take him anyway.
Luke Lennock, last year
against North Cedar.
Luke Lennock last year was 40 carries, 324, both school records that for a single game. And I think he's going to have a pretty big game again.
Yeah.
So
this is just almost unfair.
What I'm going to do is to go ahead and take.
Don't steal it from me.
I'm going to take Showtime Matt Shaver.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you have the opportunity to do what you want to do. Go ahead.
I think this will be allowed, but I'm going to take the offensive line.
All right. It's 5-1. That's okay.
Well,
actually, 6-1 because they're rotating.
As a group.
As a group. They got to do
offensive
well.
Line.
Okay.
And so I think we can see their success depending on what Luke does. And if Cooper gets sacked, how much time he has to throw the ball, etc.
If you're going that, then I get another pick. I get like two picks. 5-2? Fine, I'm going to take it. I'm going to go... I'm sticking with Showtime. I'm just staying.
That's fine.
I'm staying there. So those are our picks to click and our score projections. And Matt, if they want, if people out there like Mike Westcott, evidently he's not as new to town as I thought he was.
No, he knows what's going on.
He knows how to get around that intranet, the Bearcast and the webcast and everything on WestBranchFootball.com. Well, tell all the folks out there what they can do.
Well, if you want to send us your score predictions and your picks to click, if you're listening to this right now on the website, just scroll down a little bit. There's a comment section. Leave it there. You can also email us, contact at westbranchfootball.com. Tweet at us if you're on the Twitter, at WBBearsFootball.
The or Twitter.
Right on our Facebook page. Just search
Facebook.
Just search for West Branch Football. Yeah. Not the.
Oh, not the. Take off the.
Yep. Just Facebook.
Just Facebook. Sounds like something Justin Timberlake might say.
He did. Yeah.
He did?
Yeah.
As Sean Parker.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, really good, though. I mean, he said it in such a great manner.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the, this is...
The?
This is the end
the
of it.
The?
It's the end.
The end.
I think of our podcast for the week, Matt. We've got everything. We've covered it all.
I think we're over an hour, so...
We're over an hour?
Yeah.
So what's that mean? Who's happy with us right now?
Miss Giese.
Mrs. Giese is very happy with us right now.
Mm-hmm.
If mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Nope.
Dr. Richard Giese would say that. No, he's not a doctor. Doctor?
Richard, no. You're thinking of another doctor, Richard.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. And baby Giese, she's going to be happy too when she's on that walk with Dr. Mrs. Giese. So that's the, that's it. That's enough. The songbooks, I see them. Yep.
They're
being passed on to the left side of the aisle. And that's it. We passed them in, so we've got nothing left to sing this week.
Nope.
And we covered a lot. We'll be back next week.
We'll be back next week.
You sure?
Yeah, we'll be back.
We'll be back at like 7 o'clock in the morning after the road trip to Bellevue next week. But first things first, 1-0 this week, hopefully.
Road trip to Bellevue.
Road trip to Bellevue week 5.
Way next week.
Yeah, way.
We'll be back
the week after. We'll be back before then. And I'll tell you what. We're thinking about a surprise announcement maybe in the next couple of days for the podcast next Saturday.
We are?
We're thinking about it. We're going to discuss it off the air. I have an idea.
You're not supposed to say anything.
I have an idea, but we'll see if Matt agrees. But you know what? Until that time, we thank you for being around. We thank our sponsors. And Matt, go ahead and list all of those right now.
Yeah, certainly big thank you to Liberty Communications, Main Street Suites, West Branch Times, Plato Farms, Casa Tequila. I'm sorry, I took it from
Casa Tequila. Yes. Hodge Construction.
Hodge Construction. And so speaking of Hodge Construction, we started a new thing this year called the Hodge Construction Player Profile. And you can check that out. We're talking with seniors and other players on the team just to kind of learn who they are, seeing what other activities they're involved in at the school and what they're doing after high school. So check those out. They air during the beginning of the Bearcast, but you can also see them on the website as well. We post those every Friday afternoon. So check those out. We've talked to Matt Shaver, Drew Finnegan, and Devin Kenton. So they're kind of a cool way to get to know your Bear seniors.
And my guess, it's going to be either Hunter Wargo or Tony Rocha this week.
Yeah, we've got two left.
Well, we're going to flip a coin. And whatever comes up, it's you're on the clock. Probably Tuesday night we'll do that. But until then, we're gonna sign off. I'm Jason Miller, that's Matt Chenander, and you have been listening to the Talking Bear Football Podcast
on WestBranchFootball.com.
Take care, everyone.